Chapter 8. The foreign trade, of which I shall take leave, to be very particular in my return through the west and north part of Wiltshire in the latter part of this work. In my return to my western progress, I passed some little part of Somersetshire, as through Evil or Evil, upon the river Ivel, in going to which we go down a long steep hill, which they call Babylon Hill, but from what original I could find none of the country people to inform me. This Evil is a market town of good resort, and some clothing is carried on in and near it, but not much. Its main manufacture at this time is making of gloves. It cannot pass my observation here that, when we are come this length from London, the dialect of the English tongue, or the country way of expressing themselves, is not easily understood, it is so strangely altered. It is true, that it is so in many parts of England besides, but in none in so gross a degree as in this part. This way of boorish country speech, as in Ireland it is called the brogue upon the tongue, so here it is called jowring. And it is certain, that though the tongue be all mere natural English, yet those that are but a little acquainted with them cannot understand one half of what they say. It is not possible to explain this fully by writing, because the difference is not so much in the orthography of words as in the tone and diction there abridging the speech. Sham for I am, chill for I will, don for put on, and doff for put off, and the like. And I cannot omit a short story here on this subject. Coming to a relation's house, who was a schoolmaster at Martock, in Somersetshire, I went into his school, to beg the boys a play day, as is usual in such cases, I should have said, to beg the master a play day. But that, by the way, coming into the school, I observed one of the lowest scholars was reading his lesson to the usher, which lesson, it seems, was a chapter in the Bible. So I sat down by the master till the boy had read out his chapter. I observed the boy read a little oddly in the tone of the country, which made me the more attentive, because on inquiry I found that the words were the same, and the orthography the same as in all our Bibles. I observed also the boy read it out with his eyes still on the book, and his head, like a mere boy, moving from side to side as the lines reached across the columns of the book. His lesson was in the Canticles, V3 of Chap. V. The words these. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? The boy read thus, with his eyes, as I say, full on the text. Chave doff my coat. How shall I don't? Chave wash my feet. How shall I moil them? How the dexterous dunce could form his month, to express so readily the words which stood right printed in the book, in his country jargon, I could not but admire. I shall add to this another piece as diverting, which also happened in my knowledge at this very town of Evil, though some years ago. There lived a good substantial family in the town not far from the Angel in a well-known house, which was then, and, I suppose, is still, the chief inn of the town. This family had a dog which, among his other good qualities for which they kept him, for he was a rare house dog, had this bad one, that he was a most notorious thief, but withal so cunning a dog, and managed himself so warily, that he preserved a mighty good reputation among the neighborhood. As the family was well beloved in the town, so was the dog. He was known to be a very useful servant to them, especially in the night when he was fierce as a lion, but in the day the gentlest, lovingest creature that could be, and, as they said, all the neighbors had a good word for this dog. It happened that the good wife or mistress at the Angel Inn had frequently missed several pieces of meat out of the pail, as they say, or powdering tub, as we call it, and that some were very large pieces. It is also to be observed the dog did not stay to eat what he took upon the spot, in which case some pieces or bones or fragments might be left, and so it might be discovered to be a dog. But he made cleaner work, and when he fastened upon a piece of meat he was sure to carry it quite away to such retreats as he knew he could be safe in, and so feast upon it at leisure. It happened at last, as with most thieves it does, that the innkeeper was too cunning for him, and the poor dog was nabbed, taken in the fact, and could make no defense. Having found the thief, and got him in custody, the master of the house, a good-humored fellow, and loth to disoblige the dog's master by executing the criminal, as the dog law directs, mitigates his sentence, and handled him as follows. First, taking out his knife, he cut off both his ears, and then, bringing him to the threshold, he chopped off his tail. And having thus effectually dishonored the poor cur among his neighbors, he tied a string about his neck, and a piece of paper to the string, directed to his master, and with these witty West Country verses on it. To my honored master Esquire Hale Master H. M. A. Come home, so cut as an ape, and tail have I known, for stealing of beef and pork out of the pail, for thief they've cut my ears, for th wother my tail. Nee, meester, and dost tell thee more nor adams come there again, my brains will be flat. I could give many more accounts of the different dialects of the people of this country, in some of which they are really not to be understood. But the particulars have little, or no diversion in them. They carry it such a length, that we see their jarring speech even upon their monuments and gravestones. As, for example, even in some of the churchyards of the city of Bristol I saw this excellent poetry after some other lines. And when that thou doest hear of thick, think of the glass that runneth quick. But I proceed into Devonshire. From Evil we came to Crookern, thence to Chard, and from thence into the same road I was in before at Honiton. This is a large, and beautiful market town, very populous and well built, and is so very remarkably paved with small pebbles, that on either side the way a little channel is left shouldered upon the sides of it, so that it holds a small stream of fine clear running water, with a little square dipping place left at every door, so that every family in the town has a clear, clean running river, as it may be called, just at their own door, and is so much finer, so much pleasanter, and agreeable to look on than that at Salisbury which they boast so much of, that, in my opinion, there is no comparison. Here we see the first of the great serge manufacture of Devonshire, a trade too great to be described in miniature, as it must be if I undertake it here, and which takes up this whole county, which is the largest and most populous in England, Yorkshire excepted, which ought to be esteemed three counties, and is, indeed, divided as such into the east, west, and north Riding, but Devonshire, one entire county, is so full of great towns, and those towns so full of people, and those people so universally employed in trade and manufactures, that not only it cannot be equaled in England, but perhaps not in Europe. In my travel through Dorsetshire I ought to have observed, that the biggest towns in that county sent no members to Parliament, and that the smallest did, that is to say that Sherborne, Blandford, Wimborneminster, Sturminster, and several other towns choose no members, whereas Weymouth, Melcombe, and Bridport were all burgess towns. But now we come to Devonshire we find almost all the great towns, and some smaller, choosing members also. It is true there are some large populous towns that do not choose, but then there are so many that do, that the county seems to have no injustice, for they send up 26 members. However, as I say above, there are several great towns which do not choose Parliament men, of which Bideford is one, Crediton or Curtin another, Ilfracombe a third. But, those excepted, the principal towns in the county do all choose members of Parliament. Honiton is one of those, and may pass, not only for a pleasant good town, as before, but stands in the best and pleasantest part of the whole county, and I cannot but recommend it to any gentleman that travel this road, that if they please to observe the prospect for half a mile till they're coming down the hill, and to the entrance into Honiton, the view of the country is the most beautiful landscape in the world, a mere picture, and I do not remember the like in any one place in England. It is observable that the market of this town was kept originally on the Sunday, till it was changed by the direction of King John. from Honiton the country is exceeding pleasant still, and on the road they have a beautiful prospect almost all the way to Exeter, which is 12 miles. On the left hand of this road lies that part of the county which they call the South Hams, and which is famous for the best cider in that part of England. Also the town of St. Mary Ottery, commonly called St. Mary Ottery. They tell us the name is derived from the river Ottery, and that from the multitude of otters found always in that river, which however, to me, seems fabulous. Nor does there appear to be any such great number of otters in that water, or in the county about, more than is usual in other counties, or in other parts of the county about them. They tell us they send 20,000 hogsheads of cider hence every year to London, and, which is still worse, that it is most of it bought there by the merchants, to mix with their wines which, if true, is not much to the reputation of the London vintners. But that by the by. From hence we came to Exeter, a city famous for two things which we seldom find unite in the same town, viz. That it is full of gentry and good company, and yet full of trade and manufactures also. The search market held here every week is very well worth a stranger seeing, and next to the Brig Market at Leeds, in Yorkshire, is the greatest in England. The people assured me that at this market is generally sold from 60 to 70 to 80, and sometimes 100,000 pounds value in surges in a week. I think it is kept on Mondays. They have the River Esk here, a very considerable river, and principal in the whole county, and within 3 miles, or thereabouts, it receives ships of any ordinary burthen, the port there being called Topsham. But now by the application, and at the expense, of the citizens the channel of the river is so widened, deepened, and cleansed from the shoal, which would otherwise interrupt the navigation, that the ships come now quite up to the city, and there with ease both deliver and take in their lading. The city drives a very great correspondence with Holland, as also directly to Portugal, Spain, and Italy, shipping off vast quantities of their woolen manufactures, especially to Holland, the Dutch giving very large commissions here for the buying of serges perpetuans, and such goods, which are made, not only in and about Exeter, but at Crediton, Honiton, Culleton, St. Mary Ottery, Newton Bushell, Ashburton, and especially at Tiverton, Cullompton, Bampton, and all the northeast part of the county, which part of the county is, as it may be said, fully employed, the people made rich, and the poor, that are properly so called, well subsisted and employed by it. Exeter is a large, rich, beautiful, populous, and was once a very strong city. But as to the last, as the castle, the walls, and all the old works are demolished, so, were they standing, the way of managing sieges and attacks of towns is such now, and so altered from what it was in those days, that Exeter in the utmost strength it could ever boast, would not now hold out 5 days open trenches, nay, would hardly put an army to the trouble of opening trenches against it at all. This city was famous in the late civil and natural war for its loyalty to the king, and for being a sanctuary to the queen, where her majesty resided for some time, and here she was delivered of a daughter, being the Princess Henrietta Maria, of whom our histories give a particular account, so I need say no more of it here. The cathedral church of this city is an ancient beauty, or, as it may be said, it is beautiful for its antiquity. But it has been so fully and often described, that it would look like a mere copying from others to mention it. There is a good library kept in it, in which are some manuscripts, and particularly an old Miss Salamas book, The Leaves of Vellum, and famous for its most exquisite writing. This county, and this part of it in particular, has been famous for the birth of several eminent men, as well for learning as for arts and for war, as particularly 1. Sir William Petter, who the learned Dr. Wake, now Archbishop of Canterbury, and author of the additions to Mr. Camden, says, was Secretary of State and Privy Councillor to King Henry VIII, Edward VI, Queen Mary, and Queen Elizabeth, and 7 times sent ambassador in 2 foreign countries. 2. Sir Thomas Bodley, famous and of grateful memory to all learned men and lovers of letters for his collecting and establishing the best library in Britain, which is now at Oxford, and is called, after his name, the Bodleian Library to this day. 3. Also Sir Francis Drake, born at Plymouth. 4. Sir Walter Raleigh. Of both those I need say nothing. Fame publishes their merit upon every mention of their names. 5. That great patron of learning, Richard Hooker, author of the Ecclesiastical Polity, and of several other valuable pieces. 6. Of Dr. Arthur Duck, a famed civilian, and well known by his works among the learned advocates of Doctors' Commons. 7. Dr. John Mormon, of Southold, famous for being the first clergyman in England who ventured to teach his parishioners the Lord's Prayer, Creed, and Ten Commandments in the English tongue, and reading them so publicly in the parish church of Mayenhennet in this county, of which he was vicar. 8. Dr. John de Brampton, a man of great learning who flourished in the reign of Henry VI. Was famous for being the first that read Aristotle publicly in the University of Cambridge, and for several learned books of his writing, which are now lost. 9. Peter Blundell, a clothier, who built the free school at Tiverton, and endowed it very handsomely, of which in its place. 10. Sir John Glanville, a noted lawyer, and one of the judges of the Common Pleas. 11. Sergeant Glanville, his son, as great a lawyer as his father. 12. Sir John Maynard, an eminent lawyer of later years, one of the commissioners of the Great Seal under King William III. All these three were born at Tavistock. 13. Sir Peter King, the present Lord Chief Justice of the Common Pleas, and many others. I shall take the north part of this county in my return from Cornwall, so I must now lean to the south, that is to say, to the south coast, for in going on indeed we go southwest. About 22 miles from Exeter we go to Totnes, on the River Dart. This is a very good town, of some trade, but has more gentlemen in it than tradesmen of note. They have a very fine stone bridge here over the river, which, being within 7 or 8 miles of the sea, is very large, and the tide flows tenor. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.